Outside the ranch house, the inhabitants of the shanty town were already getting into full swing. There was a gut-wrenchingly awful smell that overpowered the usual sewage and body odors. As they left the building, they could see that the center of the ville was lit by a giant fire that gave off dense clouds of smoke, as well as an intense heat and a brilliant light. Unfortunately, if one of the companions were to slip away and try to infiltrate the barn, they needed the semi-darkness they had experienced the night before. Arriving in front of the fire, Ryan could see that it was made of all the detritus that could be found in the ville. Pieces of brush, carcasses of animals, old split and burst tires, anything the inhabitants could find. From experience and some pre-dark books he had seen, Ryan knew that some of the old plastics in the fire gave off poisonous fumes. This would certainly give them cover if it made the inbreds drowsy or sick, but how could he and the rest of the companions avoid being affected?
Mildred, how safe is it to inhale smoke from old shit like plastics?
Good point. We should keep as far from the immediate area of the fire as possible so the fumes hopefully won't overpower us.
The two departed to spread the word. In the light of the fire, which illuminated the center of the ville almost as brightly as if it were day, the ville dwellers were going crazy. There were several barrels of brew, which many of them were dipping their heads into, drinking deep, then emerging for air. Most of them were naked or almost naked, and they ran around grabbing at one another. Men and women, women and women, men and men, all were touching each other, licking and stroking. It was a huge mass of rutting humanity. In the middle of it all, Buckley stood, also naked. The woman Ryan recognized as Mags was on her knees in front of him. Ryan turned away. He cast frantic glances over the center of the ville. It seemed that everyone was gathered within the warmth and light of the huge fire. The fumes caught at the back of Ryan's throat, leaving a sickly sweet aftertaste that turned his guts. Catching sight of his people, Ryan could see that Mildred, Christy, and Doc were banded together on the far side of the fire, trying to keep a distance from the fumes. They were able to look as though they were on the verge of joining in the orgy, while at the same time by sticking together, warding off anyone who took an interest in them. But they were also farthest from the barn. Unless Jack was already on his way, it was up to Ryan. He turned and was about to strike out for the barn when he saw Jack coming toward him. The albino teen glided through the rutting and fighting crowd like a wraith.
Ryan, there are no guards. Everyone fucking. Clear to the barn.
You've wrecked it?
Moat's got a spiked trap, but nothing else. Maybe the sec usually got it. Maybe no one even in there now.
Buckley made like there was.
Yeah, was. Only way to find out.
If it's all clear, then I'll try and get in. These fuckers are too busy with each other to notice. But tell the others I'm going in. And cover for me if you have to.
No problem.
Jack melted into the crowd, threading his way through to the remaining companions. It was all in Ryan's hands now. Ryan made his way through the crowd, pushing away advances and hands that groped at him. Still on high alert, in case a stray set guard had wandered into the area since Jack's recon, Ryan moved swiftly across the land between the shantytown and the moated barn. Arriving, he silently moved around the circumference of the moat. As Jack had told him, the dry moat, dug to a depth of about 10 feet, was baited with spiked metal man-traps that ran all the way around. The barn itself had only one set of doors, and the original wooden structure had been augmented over the years by concrete, stone buttresses, and sheets of metal plundered from a variety of sources. The double doors were closed from the outside by a long metal bar that ran horizontally across the middle. There was a movable wooden slat bridge to cross the divide, which was sitting on the ville side of the moat. Ryan doubted there would be any alarms. He could see no obvious wires or traps, and Nagasaki lacked the power to run an alarm system. Looking over his shoulder at the now distant revelers, Ryan took the heavy wooden slat bridge and maneuvered it so that it swiveled over across the divide. It was obviously designed as a two-person task, but Ryan had no choice. He walked slowly across the wooden bridge, testing its strength and security with each step. It stayed firm. Ryan was now acutely aware of his exposed position, should any of the Nagasaki revelers stray from the fire. He looked over his shoulder, scanning the immediate area. All was quiet. He took the bar in both hands, testing its weight before gently lifting it, not wanting to scrape the metal of the bar against either the wood of the doors or the metal of the retaining brackets, making any kind of noise that could attract attention to his activity. His aching muscles protested, but he held the bar firm, gently lifting it so that he was able to clear the danger area and lower it to the ground. Not knowing what to expect, he took hold of the doors and eased them open.
Oh, God.
The stench was unbelievable. A combination of charnel house and sewer, it made Ryan fear for what may be within. The inside of the barn was illuminated by a low tallow light that flickered and could undoubtedly be seen from the center of the settlement. Ryan pushed the doors closed again so that he blocked the light. He would have to be careful how he entered, cutting the view of the light to a minimum. He would also have to take a few deep breaths before entering. Taking one quick glance behind him to check that it was safe, he pulled the door open a crack and slipped through. Inside, the odoriferous fog hit him like a physical object. The barn was lit by three tallow lamps that were suspended from brackets hammered into support struts around the central section of the floor. There was an upper level that disappeared into the gloom, but it was the filth around the center that took Ryan's attention. The straw scattered on the floor was sodden with urine and covered in feces. It was also covered in the remains of bowls of slop stew and stains that could only be blood. There were human remains, body parts, intestines. The barn was an abattoir. Whoever came in never came out. The whole exercise had been pointless. Ryan turned to leave. Something moved. Aware that he couldn't use a gun for alerting anyone to his presence, Ryan slipped the panga from the sheath on his thigh.
Come on. If you're going to, then attack me. If not, then I want to talk to you.
Why didn't you come for me before?
Because I didn't know you were here. Because I assumed this was just a slaughterhouse.
It is. It's just that they do it slowly. They have to have their fun first.
Listen, I don't have much time. I'll level with you. We were captured by these freaks, too. The only reason we aren't in here is because they want us to help them mount a raid with a stolen wag. Then, they say, we'll be let free. I trust Buckley as far as I could throw the fat fucker. We've gone along because we're outnumbered. What we need is information.
You think that's gonna help you? Listen, if I was you, I'd just run like hell. I hope you get chilled in the raid so that they don't bring you back here. Do you have any idea what they do to us when they get us in here?
I think I might. I've seen what they do to each other.
No. You can't even begin to imagine it unless you've been through it. What they do to each other is just plain. Any men they catch have to have sex with their women. And any women get raped by their men. And if they have men and women they catch, then we have to have sex with each other. They want kids, see? Otherwise the veal will die. How many kids do you see out there?
None.
Exactly. You ask me. These inbreds can't have kids anymore. And they use any outlanders they can get to try and have kids. If they don't get results, then they get bored. And that's when they start to get vicious. They ripped Malone's guts out in front of us. He tried to hold him as they fell out of his belly. Tried to grab him as they spilled over his hands. I never realized they'd make so much steam as they came out. Stacy was next. But she wouldn't get pregnant. So they butchered her.
Listen, show yourself to me. Come into the light and I'll try and help you get the hell out of here. You tell me what I need to know to save our hides, and I'll try and help you save yours. No promises, you'll be on your own, but at least you'll have a chance.
The source of the voice moved into the light. He was emaciated, with sores and open wounds across his body. His shirt was in ribbons, and his combat fatigues were ripped and torn. He had no boots on his feet, and Ryan could see some of the toenails were missing. One of the man's eyes was cloudy, but the other was clear as he fixed it on Ryan.
"I'm Ryan Carter. Me and four others were trekking across the wasteland when they found us. Who are you?"
"I'm Cyrus Gill, and I was a driver for Trader Sims till the wag blew a tire when we were on our way to Duma. Sims, stupid bastard, couldn't wait to get to Duma because he had some grins to sell to the Baron for Big Jack. So he left us. Then they came out of nowhere like rats."
"It's your wag we'll be using. We're supposed to join a convoy and go into the villa on the back of it. Will it be your convoy?"
"Too soon. Sims is probably still screwing God isn't snorting jolt on his profits. But there's always a lot of convoys. It's a big stop in these parts. These crazy fuckers taking you right into the villa and not ripping off the convoy outside. Man, you ain't ever coming back."
"Why? What's it like in Duma?"
"It's the richest ville for hundreds of miles. Lander's got it all wrapped up. Half what he pays the convoys for their trade he takes back from jolt, booze, and God. He's man smart, and all smart barons have a good sick, right? Place is guarded and wired all around. If you start firing off in there, they'll have you outnumbered 50-1 and chill before you can even say your name. Don't go. Though it'd be buying the farm quicker and with less pain than living in here."
"Buckley isn't as stupid as you think. He's keeping two of our people back with him. Kind of a failsafe, I guess. How we get the hell out of here, I'll have to work out pretty quickly. But you up to making a run for it?"
"Too bare as shit in the woods. I don't know how far I'll get. But if you can guarantee me no sect to mow me down, then I'll run like I never have. I'd rather buy the farm out there than rot in here and play their next game."
"Why did they leave you till last?"
"Just lucky, I guess."
"You'll need boots."
Ryan spotted a pair hidden under the filthy straw. He reached down and picked them up, then nearly dropped them in surprise when he realized that they still had severed feet in them.
"Oh, shit."
Biting down the bile rising from the back of his throat, he reached into each boot and pulled out the rotting flesh and bone, dropping it on the floor of the barn. He handed the boots over to Gil, who kept his face impassive.
"Must have been Stacy's. She had little feet."
"How many of you were there?"
"Only 5. The rest of this shit was here when we got here."
"Come on, we better get going."
Ryan opened the door as little as possible to allow them to squeeze through. He looked around to see if there was any movement toward the barn from the center of the ville. The dwellers were still too preoccupied to notice. The two men made their way carefully back over the wooden bridge, and Ryan heaved it back into place so that it would seem to the casual observer that no one had been over the moat that night. Without another word, he led the limping Gil around the moat and toward the back end of Nagasaki. They reached the edge of the ville without any interruption and paused at the farthest building.
"You're on your own now."
"I don't know why you bothered to do what you just did, but I'm glad."
Without another word and without looking back, Gil limped off into the wasteland. Even when he was no longer visible, Ryan still stood and watched. Finally, he turned and walked back through the ville, careful not to be seen by any stray passersby. He needn't have worried. They were all too concerned with enjoying themselves, celebrating the great victory that they hadn't even begun the fight for as of yet. As unobtrusively as possible, Ryan slipped back into the circle around the fire. The fun was beginning to wind down as more of the ville dwellers were either sleeping or passed out in the dirt. Jack spirited his way between those left standing. He didn't ask any questions, just fixed Ryan with an impassive stare.
"I'll tell you when we get some privacy, but it doesn't look good."
"She didn't figure it would."
Following Jack, Ryan went over to where the others were waiting. There was no sign of Buckley or his two sec men.
Interesting time, lover?
Kinda. What about you?
Great. Just great.
As Ryan looked out beyond the glow of the fire and the billowing smoke that still obscured a great tract of sky, he could see that beyond was beginning to lighten as dawn tried to break through the chem clouds over the wasteland.
We better try and get some rest before these bastards revive and want to start for the convoy. I figure we'll be safe for now. They're all too tired to do anything.
Then perhaps this would be a good time to escape. After all, you were able to slip away.
Yeah, but I was on my own, Doc. Jack, what do you reckon?
Buckley, not that stupid. Back of the villa's okay, but if we want to take the wag, then we got trouble. 5 guards mounted on it.
Yeah, and if we go by foot, then you aren't going to get far, Doc. Not yet, at any rate.
Mayhap you are correct, Ryan. But perhaps that means you should leave me here. After all, if not for me, we would not have been taken.
We don't do that, and you know it. We stand and fall together. If at least 3 of us have the wag tomorrow, then at least we stand a chance of getting a ride out. We'll see what happens.
They walked back to the ranch house and the relative safety of their room.
The barn's nothing but a slaughterhouse. I hope the only survivor escape. The thing is, if we did just run away, these sick fucks would still be around to do this to other people. I'd like to wait until we're in a position to grind these fuckers into the ground.
Put it like that, sir, I can find no argument. We bide our time, then strike at the foulness and rip it out of the body of this land.
Cyrus Gill walked all day. Sweat prickled his skin and dried out, leaving salt trails that stung in his open wounds. He had nothing left to sweat out and was almost delirious. He felt sure he would perish, but was glad for it. Anything was better than the barn. He had no idea which direction he was headed. The heat and dust made it all seem the same, and even looking at the sun didn't help. After what seemed an eternity, Gill saw the blacktop extending in front of him, stretching as far as he could see in either direction. He thought it was an illusion, as he did the wags coming toward him and the motorbike rider with the M4000. The biker stopped only a few feet from where Gill stood, swaying. Gill raised his hand and tried to speak to his hallucination, but no words escaped his parched throat and dry mouth. He just collapsed on the asphalt.
Roy, he's waking up!
Gill opened his eyes, aware of movement. He was in a wag. Faces loomed over him in the gloom of the wag's interior. One of the faces was female, blind and old, but still with some kind of caring in it. She took a damp piece of cloth and cleaned his forehead.
Where the fuck did you spring from, stranger?
Gill tried to answer, but his throat was almost closed from dryness. The woman lifted a canteen to his lips.
Take it easy now. Talk when you can.
Here it is. A whole village of them. Killed my people down to the last one. They trying to sneak into Duma. Part of a convoy. One-eyed man saved me. Said he was forced to join him.
Better tell Malloy. The riders haven't raised any alarm, but maybe he'll want to do something about this head time. Damn. Can't imagine how them fuckers think they ain't gonna get noticed.
These inbreds are completely fucked in the head. It figures that idiots like that think they can get away with anything. Are you going to try to get Malloy's attention or not, Leroy?
Yeah, I am. Just wait a second. What do you want me to do, wave my ass out the wind?
Using the wag's horn, the man called Leroy tapped SOS in Morse, attracting the attention of one of the bikers who rode shotgun to the convoy. Following the lead of the front wag, the entire convoy came over to the side of the blacktop, grinding to a halt. The back of the wag opened, and the woman slipped out. She ran forward and relayed Gill's tale to the trader.
Here's what we do. We send a man ahead to Duma and warn the sec guard what's going to happen. I'm not risking my own men against those muties. Let Zander's men do that. It's a shitty plan they got, but if it means all we gotta do to avoid a firefight is pretend not to notice them, it's fine with me. We'll take them right into whatever kind of trap Zander wants.